both his hands and his side, and the disciples then rejoiced when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I'm sending you." And when he said this, he breathed. He breathed on them. He breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Receive the Holy Spirit. Who is this Spirit? Who is this Holy Spirit? It is the third person of the Godhead. It is God Himself. And in their fear and in their worry and in their anxiety, they came and they said, and Jesus came and said, "Listen, receive my Spirit." Now, I think it's so interesting here because, you know, they didn't ask for that. They had heard about some of it. They heard that the Helper was coming. Jesus just said, "Hey, receive the Spirit of the living God on you." Who is this Spirit? He is the third person of the Godhead. He is God Himself who's dwelling in your life right now. And the Bible speaks of this Holy Spirit in so many different ways, in so many different fashions, that I think somehow we've missed the dynamic meaning and movement of God in our lives. Let me ask you a question. How many times this week have you thought about the Holy Spirit living in you? Once? Twice? Once a day? Jesus said in John 16:7, "I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage, it's to your profit that I go away. Because if I don't go away, watch this, the Helper will not come to you, but if I go, I'm going to send Him to you." I'm going to send Him to you. Powerful, powerful moment. Something that's so promising. I look at this Helper, and what does that mean? It means that Jesus is sending really Himself, because He'll say in another passage, He'll say, "I'm going to ask the Father, and He's going to give you another Helper who will be with you forever." One of the same kind. This is the living God in your life right now, right here. How sacred is that to you? How sacred is that to you? The Helper called alongside in your life to help you. We're going to see in just a moment that He's in there. He's in our lives to teach us, to lead us. And He's in our lives for this great, powerful movement of God in your life. And I've just been thinking about this over the last week as I've been just mulling over it and getting up in the mornings and thinking about it. And I think, you know, really, there's at least three things we all need. We all need help. Is that right? We need help. Amen? I mean, you need help. I'm just going to tell you, you need help. Believe me, I've been there. I know. And you can look at me and say, "You need help." As a matter of fact, say that. Point to me and say, "You need help." Thanks a lot. We need help. People are looking for help. It was a few weeks ago, maybe a month and a half ago, 2 months. I was in the office and I was by myself. There's no one else there. And almost every day someone comes in for help. And we have a system. We have a system that we work with other churches around the region. And it's called Grace Place. And if somebody needs help with a electrical bill or water bill or a mortgage payment or a rent payment, they'll go to Grace Place and they'll get a pledge letter. They get the pledge letter, and then they've got to go to church after church after church after church after church to ask church after church after church for money to help. I've never had to do that. I can't imagine having to do that. Maybe you've had to do that. Grace Place is in Stephenville. Cottonwood is what, 13, 14 miles away, 15 miles away, depending on how you get here. And those folks come in to Cottonwood kind of like the last church. And you look at their pledge letter, and you've got this church giving $25, and this church giving $50, and this church giving $30, and they've gone to 5-6 churches. I just want you to know, because of your generosity, a person comes, and we usually get to finish them off. This woman came in, and she was actually from working in Comanche County, and she had apparently come across some days that were just really hard, and she gave me the pledge letter, and I saw 8 churches, and she still had $100-$150 left to go. I think that's how much, because I had to pull out my calculator and think out it, and I knew she was thinking, what are you doing? I said, well, I'd like to finish you off today. And she started weeping. She started weeping because she was done. She was done with this project. She was done with this need. She was done. You were meeting the final need of this woman's life in this moment. And I was just so grateful to do that. And I think every time that we've been able to do that, right, Marilee? I mean, they just begin to weep, don't they? They just begin to cry. It's not something isolated. There's just this relief. There's this, oh, I've got help. I've got help. And we all need help. The day that you decide you don't need help is the day you really need help. We all need it. We're here in this life, in this church, as a part of the kingdom of God to help one another to the places we need to be. Our sister, young sister Sarah said, we're here to help people who are far away from Jesus to get as close as they can to Him. We are here as a family of God, the family of God, with a mission to help people to get closer to God, to get closer to Christ's likeness, to get to the places they need to be. And let me tell you, if you're closer to Christ's likeness, your marriage is going to get better. If you're closer to Christ's likeness, your ministry becomes clearer. If you're closer to Christ's likeness, Christ being formed in you, Christ doing this work in you, you're going to see the morality of your life change from if it's bad to good. If it's just good, it's going to be excellent. Jesus comes to do that by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why we talk about Christ-likeness all the time. That's why you hear about it. It's what Jesus comes to do. Paul said it. He said it to the churches. He said, oh, I'm just in labor until Christ is formed in you. Thank God. Praise God. Thank Him that we're closer, hopefully, to Christ-likeness and being more like Him than we were yesterday, last week, last month, last year. Because if you're not, you're just going to find misery. You're going to find heartache. You're going to find trial, not because of some outward thing, but because of some inward thing that's going on in your life. That's why you'll hear us say over, over, and over, and over, it is about the glory of God being formed in you and you becoming more like Him. And I want to say this. This is what the Holy Spirit comes to do in your life, to help you get to that place and those places you need to be today. And then tomorrow, when tomorrow is today. It's such an awesome proposition. It's something that is just so stunning when you think about it, that the God of all creation who created you sent His Son, who was Him, to die in your place, where the transaction was done, the spiritual transaction was done, whereby which when you embraced him by faith, God changed you and began this work. And then the God of all creation who stepped down and became Christ, and then now he is Jesus, who's the Holy Spirit who comes into every one of us. Oh, listen to me. I've said it about worship this morning. Don't let this become so familiar that it loses the sacredness of your life. It's the presence of God. That's what it is. It's the presence of God in your life. And he's called along to help you. And then, you know, when he's helping us, we're helping others, like that woman or that man that comes through our lives. Just looking for help. Just looking for help. But let me just say this. It's not just the help with physical needs. It's the help to be more like Christ on a daily basis. Let me ask you, church, is that happening in your life? Is that happening? Because at the end of the day, I think all that matters as I look back is this. Did I think like, did I act like, did I speak like Christ in all those situations that I was in today? You know, that's a good assessment, don't you think? Did I love like Jesus loved? Did I give like Jesus gave? Did I speak like Jesus speaks? Did I walk like Jesus walked? Because this is the power of the Holy Spirit. This is what we need. We need help. Listen, folks need answers. We want answers to life. We want answers to the trial. We want answers to the struggle. That's why the Holy Spirit comes. Gives you answers. Matter of fact, when you look at on the screen, John 16:13, notice what it says. When he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak and he will disclose to you what is to come. You know, I think sometimes we look at this, especially that last phrase, and we make it so difficult, because I want to tell you, he discloses to you what's to come. He does. And I'll say it again, and I'll say it till I'm blue in the face. What's to come is Christ's likeness. And then let everything else flow out of that. To pursue Christ, to pursue him above all else. You know, I think sometimes, I think all the time, we have things going on in our lives that are uncertain, that are hard, that are difficult, that are disappointing, and all the enemy wants to do is distract you from the main thing. And that's to love him with all his heart, your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And then there's the new commandment, by the way, that you love one another as Jesus has loved you, right? Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Your neighbor is yourself. And oh, by the way, let us love one another as Christ loves us. It's the standard. And when I suggest to you that really nothing else matters, because I'm going to tell you, you can gain the whole world and lose that. We can grow a church to a couple of thousand and still not have that. Do you know that? There are churches that are a couple of thousand. They don't have that. We can be successful in the marketplace. We can be successful in all kinds of things. Can be a successful preacher and still not have it. Still not have it. That's why, as your pastor and your friend, I'll always nudge you that way. And I'll try to do it as gentle as I can in person, but I'll do it a little harder from the pulpit, okay? And you know that. See, when I think about this thought of the Holy Spirit coming and leading us into the truth, the question that you must ask is, what's the truth? What's the truth and what does it look like? Right? And so I want to say a couple of things about that. The first thing, the truth is Jesus. Jesus said it in John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. This is not just an evangelism point. It's not just coming to God through Jesus in one flesh, one moment and time, and crossing the threshold and saying, okay, I'm there. No, you just got born again. And the next thing that needs to happen is you got to start crawling. And that may take a couple months. And the next thing you got to do is you got to get out of the diapers. And you got to get off milk. When you cross the threshold into the life of Christ, it becomes the life of Christ. It becomes the life of Jesus. And things begin to happen. And the greatest thing that begins to happen is transformation, life change. And the only standard's Jesus. It's not me. It's not anybody else in this room. It is Jesus. We live by his standard, folks. That's why Paul said to the Corinthians, listen, which was a messed up church. Did you know Corinthians was a messed up church? I mean, they were just messed up. I mean, they let immorality go rampant. They got drunk at the Lord's Supper. They abused the gifts. I mean, the whole First Corinthians is just, man, it's just hard. You need help, Corinth. And 2 Corinthians comes along, and things are better because they've been responding to the Word of God. They've been responding to the Spirit, and things are better. But Paul will come along and say, hey, listen, if you'll do this one thing, if you'll gaze into the image of Jesus, you'll become just like him from glory to glory. You know, I'm just going to say this. We become what we gaze at. Have you noticed that? We become like that. That's why some of you got to get off social media, because you're becoming like the very person you're critical of. Because that's all you do is watch. You look. And there's a great standard, and it's Jesus. And you can go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, to the love chapter, and you can see Jesus. Look at that. Gaze at that for a life. Gaze at that for 3 hours in the evening, or 4 or 5 or 6. So we become what we gaze at. And that's why it's so important. We say, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things will be added to you. Keep seeking the things that are above, the things where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. With everything that you are, gaze your eyes on him and become like your master, like your Lord, like the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Do you know why I'm smiling? Because I see it. I see it in you. I see it for you. I don't see the junk coming out of our lives at hard times, out of our mouths, out of our lives, out of our countenance. It's Jesus. The truth is Jesus. When the Bible says the Holy Spirit comes into your life, he says he comes to lead you into all the truth. And the truth is Jesus. He's the way, he's the truth, and he's the life. Amen. That's who he is. And so the Spirit of God is not going to do anything different in your life than to point you to Jesus, okay? That's what the Holy Spirit's going to do. If he points you to something else, or something else that doesn't line up with the behavior of the Lord Jesus Christ, you got you another Jesus, which is not a Jesus at all. You know, I'm saying this is not easy. This can be difficult because it's difficult for our flesh. Forgive our enemy? Release the enemy? Release the betrayer? You know, I think it was really interesting. This past week, we went into the Hughes unit again, or I got to go with Trigger, and we did the Lord's Supper. Man, I'm just going to tell you, I guess Trigger, were there about 400 men? I mean, it was just packed that night. Some of them were there for the air conditioner. I know. Some of them were there for Lord's Supper. And you know, when you give the Lord's Supper, when we have it here, you know, we talk about it. We talk about the body. We talk about the blood. We talk about the standard of the body, the standard of the blood, and what that means. And then Paul always says, hey, when you come to the table, examine yourself. And I just want to be faithful to lead you into examination. And that's what we did with these men. And I, you know, I was kind of watching and praying a little bit. And I was watching these guys. And I'm going to just tell you, half of them did not take. And you know what I thought? They got it. Because I want to tell you, If you're sitting at the table of the Lord and you're not ready to repent or turn or to move toward Him, and you eat and drink judgment to yourself. And you know what I told the guys and the fish? Hey, those of you who did not partake, I'm going to tell you, you're almost there. And you know what? In a couple of weeks, when Rick Robertson comes and he does the Lord's Supper, you're going to be ready to take it. And guys, you're going to have to double up on it. Because you're almost there. Why? Because you heard that if you come to the table in an unworthy manner, you drink, eat and drink judgment. That's why many sleep in their Christian life. That's why so many people are sick and unhealthy, physically and spiritually. Why? Because of the standard. It's the standard of Christ. And the Holy Spirit says, I'll always lead you to that standard. And if you don't live that standard, you're either not listening or you're just being plain disobedient. Because the Spirit of God comes into your life with this teaching. And with this teaching, He comes with power. He comes with power. So He comes to lead you to Jesus and into Jesus. But the truth is also something else. The truth is His Word. Look on the screen, John 17, 17. He says, sanctify them in the truth. Your Word is truth. What Jesus says, or God says, is truth. The word sanctify is a pretty fancy name, but let me tell you what it means. It means to set you apart from that which is profane, that which is ungodly, and bring you to a place of holiness in Christ. I'm going to tell you, it's not just positional holiness. It's practical holiness. How can it just be positional holiness and not practical? You're holy. But you still look more filthy than you looked on the day that you came to Christ. Does that make sense? No, that's not the standard. The standard is Christ-like behavior. And that's what the Spirit's going to do. He's going to bring you to this if you'll just allow Him, if you'll just listen to Him and listen to what the Spirit of God's saying and then obey those initial promptings. Let me tell you, the first time I ever heard of that, I was in eighth grade. Can you believe that? Eighth grade. To obey the initial promptings of the Spirit of God. And I don't know about you, that I want to do that. You know why? Because I want to hear the Holy Spirit. How many of you want to hear the Holy Spirit? Raise your hand. Yeah, go and raise. I want to hear the Holy Spirit. Well, am I willing to obey the initial promptings of the Spirit of God in my life? Because He says, listen, I'm going to sanctify you in truth, and your Word is truth. So all of a sudden, you've got Jesus and His behavior and how it was recorded in the Word, and then you've got it right here. He shows you how to live. Hey, He shows you in such simple ways. Such simple ways. Dads, do not provoke your children to anger, but raise them up in the fear and instruction of the Lord. And isn't that simple? I mean, it's a simple statement. I mean, it's hard to do. I know. But don't provoke your children to anger. You know what that means for me as a dad? I better check my own anger. I better check my own soul, my own spirit. That's how Jesus teaches us, how He leads us to the truth of fatherhood and motherhood. Husbands, love your wives like Jesus loves the church. And lay down your life for them. Now, isn't that just a simple word? That's what I love about the simplicity. Wives, see to it that you respect your husband. Husbands, lay down your life for your wife. Wives, respect your husband. You know, when you're doing that in the lens of God and His glory to reflect Him as a man, as a husband, as a dad, as a grandpa, as a pastor talking to me right now, when I look at that standard, I say, oh, that's how I'm to live. Oh, that's how I'm to respond. That's how I'm to walk out of this place. But it's the Spirit of God who's leading you. And He's teaching you. And He does it through the Word. He'll sanctify you as a husband and a wife. He'll sanctify you as a mom and as a dad. He'll sanctify you as a son or a daughter. He will sanctify you. Set you apart from the profane things that you speak, the profane things that you do, to do the things that are godly, to do the things that are Christ-like. And that's what it means to be Christ-like. And I'm smiling again because I just believe in you. I believe in the church of the living God. In all of its warts, in all of its problems, in all of its struggles, I believe in it. I believe in you. Listen, Isaiah said this. Listen, the word is not so far that you got to get somebody to go get it. It's right here. It's right here, right in your heart. Right now. You don't have to send somebody over the sea to get the word to bring it to you. It's right in your heart. That's what the Holy Spirit is teaching us. The word. Now, I want to do this, and let me tell you what my goal is right now, is that when I'm finished in about 3 or 4 minutes with this section, because we are going to go late, okay? We're going to go late. A lot of you are staying anyway, right, for single spa day. And it's nothing for Cottonwood to be out at 12:15, is that right? Okay, good. Matter of fact, you know what I've learned? I learned if I let you out right now, you'd go home. If I let you out at 12:15, you'll be here to 12:45. So I've learned that, okay? What is that? What is that? Okay, so I want to do something a little differently when we talk about the word here, okay, because the truth is this word. Now, Isaiah 55, 8 through 12 speaks about, you've heard me pray it before. Go on and turn there, okay? Isaiah 55, okay? And I want you to see something about, you've heard me pray this. I don't know if I've ever really just opened it up and said, hey, look at this. In verse 8, he says, or in verse 6, he says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he's near. Hey, when is that? When is he near? Amen. Always. While he is near, he's near. If you've got the Holy Spirit, the living God in your life, he's right here, he's right now. So call upon him anytime, any place. He's here, he's here. If you're wicked, forsake your way. If you're unrighteous, forsake your thoughts. And return to the Lord. And if you return to the Lord, he'll have compassion for you. He'll have compassion on you. And he'll abundantly pardon. We know that. We know that about our great God. He pardons us. He forgives us. But I want you to see in verse 8, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Nor are your ways my ways. Listen, that's why we have to get from the flesh way of living to the spirit way of living. Because if I'm in the flesh, it's all my thoughts. It's what I think. It's what I feel. And when you start living by the way you think and you feel, I'm going to tell you, you're going to go to places that will destroy you. It will. And I've seen the best of folks who follow Christ before begin to walk in a different way because their heart told them something other than what God was telling them. It's how affairs start. Oh, I've heard it before. Oh, it's got to be God. I feel so great. God brought us together. Listen, that is a lie. It doesn't line up with the word of God, for one thing. It doesn't line up with the character of Christ. But that's what will happen. My ways aren't your ways. Now watch, verse 10. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and they don't return without watering the earth, and they make it bear and sprout, and it furnishes seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so will my word which goes forth from my mouth, it will never ever return to me empty, but it'll accomplish what I desire, and when it returns to me, it won't return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter which I send it. In other words, he says, listen, every time you open the word, he's going to send you a word to accomplish something in your life. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Now what are some of the things that he does? When you see what the word does, you realize this is God's will for my life. He sends the word of God to change and transform you. It changes and transforms you. We saw the scripture just a moment ago. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. He comes to change you and transform you. To transform your thinking, to transform your ways, to transform your walk, to transform your attitude, to conform it into the image of Christ. The Bible says that the truth sets you free from sin's power in John chapter 8, verse 32. You want to talk about freedom? You look at that context. We love to say the truth will set you free. Right? We love that context. But look at the context. The context is the power of sin. That's the context. Freedom from its power. Freedom from its chains. And I smile again because that's what I believe about the Word. And I believe it for you. Chained to lust. Chained to bitterness and anger. Chained to greed. Truth sets you free from those things. And so when I see this, I see that, hey, His Word sanctifies me. That must be God's will for me to change and to be transformed. The Word, the truth, Jesus, sets me free from the sin of power. That's the will of God in my life. So I want to pray it, and I want to ask God to send His Spirit to set me free from this wrong thinking, from this horrible thinking, from this jumping to conclusions, and all those other things that we do. The Bible says, by the Word of God, you're born again. That's why when you share faith with someone, you share the Word. Because I'm going to tell you, there's nothing you can do to lead them to get them to Christ. Maybe you can lead them, so to speak, but you can't seal the deal, like some people say. It's the Spirit of God working, meeting that heart that needs Jesus. You're birthed by the Word of God. Look on the screen. John 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is God-breathed. Don't you love that? He breathed the Holy Spirit. He breathed the Spirit on them. Listen, He breathed the Scripture. And it's profitable to teach us, to reveal to us what's wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we're wrong and trains us in what is right so that we might be prepared and equipped for every good work. So that's what the Word does. Let me ask you a question. How often do you spend in the Word and thinking on the Word? Listen, this Word is so great. This Word moves in such great ways. I'm going to tell you, you know, there are these new diets that you eat 5 times a day. You seen that? Why not do that with the Word? 5 times a day. We don't have to be long. Just, God, I want to be fed this moment. I want to be fed at snack time. I want to be fed at dinner. I want to be fed at supper. I want to be fed at 3 o'clock. You know, the Dr. Pepper, right, 10, 2 and 4. You've heard that? But how often have you spent time in the Word this week? Do you know, this is the easiest time in all of history to open your Bible. It's the easiest time. It's right here at your fingertips. Bible. I use the blue letter Bible. It's awesome. And it's got comparison translations. And I can just go, okay, flip through it and read it. And I want to tell you this. The Word of God washes you. It sanctifies you. It washes. That's what it does. But if you're not in it, it can't be the soap and it can't be the water that God desires for you to have. Listen, He'll lead you into all truth because the truth causes you to be born again. The truth will set you free. The truth will lead you and transform you. It will teach you. I love 2 Timothy 3:16 because when He says it's profitable to teach us, the first thing it does to us is when we're wrong, it points out where we are wrong. And I want to tell you, that's why we don't want to read the Word. When we want to do what we want to do, when we want to do it, and how we want to do it. Right? The Word will correct you. It'll show you where you're wrong. But what's so great about it is that when you have conviction of the Holy Spirit, you ought to have this godly sorrow that will produce a repentance without regret. And you know, sometimes we just kind of fall to our knees. But you know what the word correct is? It teaches us we're wrong. The word correct is, it's literally, it's this. It's come alongside and pick you back up and put you on the right road. That's what the Word will do. It'll show you your fault. It'll correct you. And it'll train you in what's right. What does it mean to be trained to do what's right? It's just kind of, man, just that's what I default to. I default to what's right. And the more that you practice it, and the more that you live it, and the more that you hear the Spirit of God living, the more that you will do that. And then what will happen? You'll be prepared, and you'll be equipped for every good work. What does that mean? That means that He'll welcome you into his service to give what he's given to you away to other people. Amen. No matter where you've been, he invites you to the work of the word. And that's why I'm saying, hey, get in it 4 or 5 times a day. Hey, if you're just looking at the same passage all day, that's great. There's no formula. The word of God will transform you. It will set you free from the power of sin. It will birth you. It will teach you, reprove you, correct you, instruct you. And this great, and then guess what else it does? It will increase your faith. Romans 10:7 says, faith comes from hearing, and the hearing the word of God. And I want to tell you, the word births great faith, and I'm going to tell you, great faith births great work. Great faith will produce great work and great fruit. Listen, let me ask you, is that not your heart's desire? To believe and to seek fruit come out of your life so that you might can touch people and give people the very fruit that's coming out of your life. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Now, one last thing. Okay. Great work, right? You've heard me speak of this passage before, and it's Psalm 19. It's a great, great psalm. First part of the psalm talks about the heavens are declaring the glory of God. But then he gets down to the word and what the word does as it declares the glory of God. And when I look at whatever the word does, it's God's will for me. And so look at what it does. The Bible says that the word is perfect. It restores the soul. God's will. God's will for your life is to restore your broken soul. Did you know that? Does God want you to come to him and still be broken all the rest of your life? No. He comes to restore that. Restores the soul, which is a sick soul, a weak soul, a wicked soul, becomes redeemed by God and it gets restored to God. The Bible is perfect. The Bible says it rejoices your heart. It's God's will. God's will is for you to have a rejoicing heart. Not a sad heart. Not a junk heart. Rejoicing heart. Stores your soul. Rejoices your heart. The word is perfect. It makes you wise. You know what it just says really, literally? It causes the simple. The simple. That's why we need help, because we're simple. But he makes the simple wise. I think that is a very kind way to say he makes stupid people wise people. And I'm going to tell you, my wife hates when I say that word. But I want to tell you, we can do stupid stuff and stupid things. But I want to tell you, that word will teach you, will get you out of the stupidity and the ignorance in the moronic way of living to living wise. You know what wise is? Wisdom is wise. Wisdom is just knowing what to do that's right and then doing it. That's wisdom. That's what the word will do. It'll make you wise. It's God's will to make you wise. It's God's will to rejoice your heart, restore your soul. But guess what else it does? It changes your countenance. It changes your countenance. Because if you have a rejoicing heart, you're going to have rejoicing eyes. It enlightens the eyes, and it changes the countenance. That's what the Word of God will do. That's what the presence of God will do. That's what the truth will do, and that's what the Spirit of God wants to do in your life today. Listen, I know I've given you a lot of information, and I know you're giving me a lot of things that the Word of God does, but let me just tell you this. As you think about this, as you get online maybe and get the outline, I'm sorry I didn't have the outline today. We had a lightning strike, and the printer is out. Okay. But pick out the things that you've written that God has spoken to you, and you go back and feed on it. Feed on it. So what's the application of this? There's a couple of things. Number one, you need to ask God for the Spirit. There's this great passage in Luke, and it's not going to be in the notes. It's in Luke, and it says, listen, seek and you'll find, ask and it'll be given to you, knock and it'll be opened to you. And then he goes on and he gives the illustrations. How many of you, listen, how many of you, if your son asks for a fish, do you give him a stone? Or if they ask for bread, you give him stone. And if they ask for a fish, you give him a snake. How much more will my Heavenly Father give, watch this, the Holy Spirit who asks them? So here's my challenge to you, okay? Let me tell you. This will bring an accountability to you like never before. When you get in the car on the way home or to dinner, do this with your family and your spouse. Holy Spirit, I invite you on this drive to our home. Invite you to this drive to the restaurant. And when we get in the restaurant, God, we invite you there. While we eat and while we talk and while we share, we invite you to this. Some of you have had some very uncertain things happen in your life, but you've not invited the Holy Spirit to the uncertainty. God, I'm disappointed, but I'm inviting you into this disappointment. Holy Spirit, I'm asking that the Holy Spirit come into this disappointing situation, this hard situation, this great situation. Ricky, how many bales of hay did y'all bale this last week? 800, 900? A bunch, right? Man, get on the truck and fight God to bale in the hay. To your breakfast, to your conversation. When's the last time you've invited the Holy Spirit to your marriage? How much more will the Father give you the Holy Spirit who asks? So ask. Now, when the Holy Spirit comes, He's going to teach you. So you got to follow. So in Galatians, it says, walk by the Spirit, and guess what? You won't fulfill the junk of the flesh. Just walk by the Spirit. And I close with this because I think it's really important. I said it just a moment ago. I was in eighth grade when someone told me, just obey the initial promptings of the Holy Spirit. Just do that. Just do that. Make sure the initial promptings of the Spirit line up with Jesus and the Word of God. Amen? Amen. Bow with me in prayer, okay? Let's stand. Y'all been sitting a long time. Stand. I'm going to do something unbaptistic right now. I'm going to ask you to raise both your hands. Will you do that? Yeah, everybody, come on. If you don't do it, I'm going to have you come up here and do it in front of everybody, okay? Just raise your hand like this. Yeah, come on. More? Come on, everybody, okay? I surrender. Yeah, right? God, I surrender. And I open them up like this real quick, and I receive the Spirit of the living God. And don't that feel good? And it's not based on a feeling. I mean, God does something. Sometimes we need to change our posture. And sometimes the posture's uncomfortable. Keep them up. Keep them up. Oh, no, 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 like this. Yeah, okay. All right. Yeah. Isn't that easy? Okay. I want you to keep them up. I'm going to pray for you, okay? And I'm going to bless you. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for these hands that are all over the place. I pray that those who are watching online right now, their hands raised, to say, God, I surrender and I receive what you have for me. Oh, Holy Spirit, we receive the Spirit of God today. We ask, oh, send the Spirit of God. Well, just in a couple of hours when these single moms come up on the property, fill our hands with the Holy Spirit. Those women that are washing feet and doing pedicures and touching hands and touching hair and shampooing hair and just massaging and doing all those things, touching these women. As men are touching these women's cars and cleaning them, Lord. As these men and women are on the square touching children. Oh, Father God, we invite the Holy Spirit to touch. Because today, if you don't do it, we labor in vain who do it. And we want the hands of Jesus. Holy Spirit, come to our lives, come to our moments. Come, Lord, to the stuff that seems to be so junky. And come to that. We invite the Holy Spirit to come and bring transformation, to bring life. To bring correction and training. To do what the rain does. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Now the Lord bless you and keep you, Lord, and make His face shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance towards you and give you peace. And as you go to the Word this week, may your face shine and reflect the glory of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. All right, let's go to work. All right, let's go to work. Amen.